Welcome in, friends, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, the Week 17 recap, maybe a little bit of Week 18 waivers if you're still going. And today on the episode, it is me, the Welsh, and the Funston, Brandon Funston. We are in the house. No Jake Seeley. I think Jake Seeley eliminated from the, I think he was eliminated from the first of the week podcast. He got knocked out in the first round, Brandon.
Oh yeah, he got drubbed. It was bad. It was no contest. So yeah, sorry, Jake. You'll just have to stick with your normal Thursdays now, but you're out on Mondays.
And yeah, we've only got a couple more weeks of the regular season episodes, but it will be Brandon and myself in the early week and Mr. Jake Seeley and myself on the waiver or the ranks week, if you will, the ranks episode, just so you guys can get prepared. We are going to be going through all the stuff. This would have been the semifinals because this was, I realized, did I say week 17? I think it was week 16. I think I said at the top. I don't know if I screwed that up. My brain is all mush, but that was the week 16 we just had going into week 17. So week 17 ranks is going to be going down. There's a lot of mush because there was a lot of insane football that went on. We also just had three straight days of football as well. And four of the last five, if you think about it. I forgot to ask you, are you a big fan of the Saturday football, of that Saturday football, Brandon?
Honestly, the way it worked out, because, you know, it's December 24th this year, sitting around with family, I had no problem having football as a backdrop for that. So normally, I'm probably indifferent. This year, I'd say I was a big fan because we're all sitting around doing nothing anyways, and it's nice to have football available to you pretty much the whole day long, you know?
Yeah, kind of stacked up against like a major holiday. Like, you can get a little bit, I don't know, get a little bit weary when you got family and then, you know, you've locked off your Sundays and they throw Saturday on you. But, you know, Christmas time was probably the perfect backdrop. And there's a backdrop of a lot of fantasy stuff that went down. I told you I had one big league. I had some best balls that are still in, but I had one big keeper league that I was in tow for in the semifinals. And I was the highest scorer. I put a little bit of a beating down. And we'll be playing in the championship game. I don't remember, Brandon, home league. Where were we at in the semifinals?
Yeah, I was in the final four, and I got Cam Akers. You know, all people to just do me dirty, Cam Akers. I just had a bad week in general, but yeah, I mean, Cam Akers. If I would have made a couple roster moves and I didn't have a stupid Cam Akers headwind going against, I would have been okay, but I made a last minute decision to bench George Pickens for Marquise Goodwin, who did absolutely nothing. And George Pickens had a decent day. And I also swapped in Deion Jackson and ignored my hunch on James Cook. So if had I made those moves, I think I would have won, but so it was tough. Anyways. So I'm playing for third place money at this point.
I was about to say, that is one of the worst feelings of like, being able to look, you'd almost rather get destroyed and not have a possibility where you could have won, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I always prefer that. I don't want the shoulda, woulda, coulda to haunt me for the rest of the season.
I had a couple of those, and that's always the thing that's going to carry with you. And on that same line, there are those decisions that you make that will haunt you, but there are also some players that you put out there that should be good that really hurt this week. And unfortunately, there is quite a big list. There's quite a big list of these players that this is the one that you're going to carry into next season, ladies and gentlemen. And let's start with, how about Stephon Diggs, who put up only two catches and 26 yards while Gabe Davis started to go off. We had Devontae Adams, probably hurts worse, two for only 15. On the running back side, Ramondre Stevenson. This would be where we would have like, in the arms of the angel. Like, we would do that. We had Ramondre Stevenson.
Sad looking dog. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. A little sad Ramondre Stevenson. 13 for only 30. DeAndre Swift was one of the biggest warning signs that we could have kept throwing out. I kept trying to press really hard. DeAndre Swift had only four carries for 12 yards, one catch for 13. Aaron Jones, only six carries for 25 yards. And a quarterback I'll throw out there, Justin Herbert, 235, but no touchdowns and a pick. Couldn't get you anything against that Colts defense, where I think there's a lot of higher expectations. Which one do you think hurts the most of all of these? I mean, there's a couple first rounders in here, but there's some big, big names. Who hurts the most?
Yeah, I think it's Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs. You can go either one. And we kind of knew this was going to be a week. Watch out for weather, you know, and there were some cold games, and those were two receivers playing in it. But, you know, Gabe Davis had a game. This is Gabe Davis season, I guess. You know, this is when he starts to come out of his hole. But, Diggs and Davante have been two of the most consistent fantasy entities all season long. So to have them kind of lay an egg in your fantasy semifinal is rough. I'd probably go that direction. Look, if you started DeAndre Swift, you kind of know that this is the flip side of the coin, is like this can happen. So you get what you get with DeAndre Swift. And Justin Herbert, I mean, like, he's been a little bit up and down all season long. I mean, we kind of thought that was probably because of the moving parts of guys being injured, being in and out of the lineup. But since he's been back to full strength, it's felt like he's kind of been surging. So that was a tough one as well. But I'm going to go with the alpha dog receivers laying an egg.
Also, what hurts as well, when you take a look at these, looking over the last 4 weeks as far as fantasy points scored in half PPR since week 13, Davante Adams was still a top 13. You know, he was 13th overall at wide receiver. But Diggs and even Gabe Davis were down there. Diggs has been 31st. In half PPR at wide receiver since week 13. So that's four straight weeks. And Gabe Davis was in the 40s at 44. So like the Stephon Diggs one absolutely hurts, but it might be another level because there had been a little bit of a path as of recent of, you know, Diggs disappointing. Not that right. You would have made any different adjustment, but man, Davante Adams being almost the top 12 wide receiver regardless during that time and just putting an absolute stinker against the Colts is probably going to have, he's probably going to be sitting in the back of a lot of people's minds. And I wonder if it would even push him out of maybe second round value next year, just the inconsistencies of the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, like, and it was the Steelers. I think he said the Colts is facing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I said the Colts. Yeah. The Chargers were facing the Colts. Yeah.
I honestly think that like what we've seen this year and just dealing with the pretty much trash in a 12 team league, waiver wire wide receivers have been trash all year long. I think a lot of people, like, I know I'm not going to forget that. I'm going to have, you know, those top 5-6 receivers circled in my drafts, and I want to get one of those guys early. So I don't think we're going to see a precipitous drop from either of these guys in drafts next year.
Well, interesting you say that. Lastly, on Davante Adams, he actually on the year in half PPR is still the third highest scoring wide receiver, but in the most critical time, you know, completely faulted and went outside of top 12 in the last month. But take that. Stephon Diggs was still the fourth highest, but was 31st in the last month. You'll take those with you. But there definitely is an uptick, and I've seen it. And, you know, we don't do questions here or anything like that, though it would be interesting maybe, you know, into a new year, taking mailbag questions. Because one thing I've seen a lot in this league, Brandon, was an uptick in people questioning running backs. And like, running backs are always going to get the pass. They're always going to dominate the first round to some degree. But I think that dominating might move into a split of other position players because so many relatively failed. And Bogman, I actually did the math on it, and it's not quite 100%. Like, there were still as many running backs who had first round grades that returned first round value as there was wide receivers, but there were just more running backs that fell out of it. But what I'm getting at here is you have the absolute dominance of Travis Kelce. I agree with you on the wide receivers. I think so many people are going to feel that. It killed me in flex. I was just thinking, oh, wide receiver so deep. It wasn't as deep because of the back end was such trash that I think you're going to get a guy like Kelsey's going to move up into the top six. I think a couple wide receivers are going to push. My problem is that I think a lot of people are going to make that adjustment in drafts next year. And you're going to see maybe a full split of a 12 round, maybe seeing 5 to 6 wide receivers, a tight end, and maybe only somewhere between 4 and 6 running backs in there, that a lot of us are going to be doing that strategy. So what's going to happen when we're like, man, I'm going to get that core wide receiver. That's the guy that I'm going to get. But then all of a sudden, instead of, you know, in the past where you would get like Tyreek Hill, now you got to take CeeDee Lamb in the first round. Like, do you want to take CeeDee Lamb over that running back that is a little bit more volatile? That's where it's going to get tough.
No, but I think, you know, Stephon Diggs, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, you know, I'm saying those guys are all five are in.
Locks. Yeah.
Are locks. And then, you know, we have to think about Cooper Kupp coming back from injury. He's probably, we're going to be back in on him.
It's a great ramp.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be six wide receivers in the first round, and I'm not sure CeeDee Lamb belongs in that group, but he's probably going to be early in the second. Like, we'll talk about this later because, you know, we'll go to some of the guys that are available on the waiver wire. But, you know, right at the top is a really good running back. And it hasn't been that hard to get replacement running back. I mean, you know, not replacement to the level of being like your RB2, but flex-worthy running backs have been available on the waiver wire all year long. And there's constantly new guys showing up because of injuries. But it just hasn't been the case with wide receiver. And every year is different, sure. But I just feel like that's going to stick with people going into drafts next year. And I think you're absolutely right. We're going to have a split. It's not going to be running back dominated first round.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And you're so right about it, too, because like I felt like every time that I jumped into the waiver wire on wide receivers, we'd be like, all right, this is Paris Campbell time. You know, it wouldn't work
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
But the running backs really did. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about like Zach Moss. Like Zach Moss is mm-hmm. out there and guys like, I mean, Pacheco is being drafted, but the Jerick McKinnon, I mean, there's a lot of guys that mm-hmm. were at best waiver wire fodder, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr. that are getting production that have just outperformed the guessing game that is wide receiver, which is a weird thing to say because I don't think that's really the norm. It's been the opposite. You know, like this breeds to the no running back crew. You know, those guys would always, right. you know, they'd be off in the corner yelling like, see, you know, didn't need it. You know, like those guys. But now this year, like they're at the front of the line, you know, because everyone's with them because the wide receivers are not something that you could even build any later like you could in previous years. So as much as these guys hurt everybody, there's probably a laundry list of names that hurt getting here. These were just the guys in the semifinals that really killed you going into championship week. But there are players that had big performances that killed. And let's dig maybe a tiny bit deeper. You said you got acred, and it is hilarious on this show too with our Cam Akers history now that Cam Akers had, I mean, the biggest week in the semifinals that you could have in a game that no one expected him nor the Rams to do anything whatsoever. I mean, I will tell you, thank God I didn't. I was very heavy into potentially betting the under on this, which was at like 36, and they blew that out themselves almost in the first half. They scored 31. The Rams scored 31 points in the first half. The over was at half. It was done. And Cam Akers had an absolutely insane game, Brandon. 23 carries, 118 yards with 3 touchdowns. And, you know, our joking argument earlier on in the year was just about like, what are we talking about here? This is Cam Akers. This is a Rams team that has been absolutely trash and garbage. And what running back really exists in this? Well, I mean, Cam Akers over the last, I guess, like 3 weeks. Yeah, if we want to do a 3-week marker, is the 6th highest scoring running back in half PPR. And people, I don't think anyone who drafted him was actually reaping the benefits. These were all waiver wire pickups that people got on Cam Akers. So, you know, what is your level of, I mean, anything on Cam Akers, but also consistency going into championship week, because this is vintage Akers.
Yeah. Although the vintage time of Akers was so very short. So it's kind of funny to think about that, but look, I do think that Cam Akers is slowly starting to look more and more his old self, but honestly, I think the bigger story here is the bigger indictment is on this Denver team. It looks to me like a team that's absolutely like it's got so many problems. And obviously Nathaniel Hackett just got fired for them. But like, no, I don't think anybody likes Russell Wilson there. I think the defense is tight with just kind of like fed up at this point with like how many games they've played that they've been really good and it's been for naught. And like, I just think this whole team is just ready to, you know, tap out on the year. And that was the sense and the feel I got from watching that game. So, like, I don't think this is the story of the Rams kind of having a redemptive finish to the season and Baker Mayfield, you know, being the new, you know, great leader of this team and Cam Akers suddenly putting, you know, his you know, brutal Achilles injury completely behind him. I think there's a little bit of that, but I think this is more about the Denver Broncos and where they're at this point.
Well, he has been relative to his production as of late. The guy has scored six rushing touchdowns over his last four games. He had not hit 20 carries on the year, but against Green Bay last week, he had 65 yards, averaged 5.5 yards per carry. They just upped it here, and he still averaged over 5 yards per carry. He was in the threes against Vegas and Seattle, but he's gone over 60 yards in three of the last four games. He now has at least 17 or more carries in two of the last four, and he's averaging over 5 yards per carry in his last two games. And in the championship week, he's going up against the Chargers.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying don't play Cam Akers in your finals. I think you have to. I mean, it's a good matchup. You know, it's the LA game, which would be kind of fun there in SoFi. But yeah, you're playing Cam Akers. I'm just saying, you know, he didn't look like gangbusters, but that game got out of hand so early, yeah. And then they just leaned on him for a while, and then I think they had Kyren Williams in at the end, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean,
since you're not going to be here for the rank episode, where do you think you would slot Akers in? Remember, last 3 weeks he's top six. He has six touchdowns in the last four games, and he's going up against a Chargers team, which you know, they're always giving. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. In half PPR, they are giving up the eighth most fantasy points to running backs, averaging over 124 yards per game on the ground and just about a touchdown per game.
Yeah, I'm scrambling right now to do like ECR for running backs this week, because I just want to get a quick snapshot and see where Akers is at already, and then just see if I would adjust from there. But looks like,
yeah, let me pull that up too.
I'm looking. Yeah, sorry, this is great podcasting. But in half PPR for week 17, drum roll.
This is exactly if you guys want a master class. Yeah, exactly. Master. This is a master class on how to kill time. But yes, Christmas Vacation is the only true Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is, and I made sure.
I can't do the drum roll either, by the way. So
I'm seeing ECR 23 at running back, which seems silly. I mean, he's at least in my top 15.
Me too.
I mean, there's guys like, I don't know, David Montgomery, Jerick McKinnon, J.K. Dobbins, Leonard Fournette, probably moving him ahead of all those guys. You know, it's Kenneth Walker against the Jets. I think I'd rather have Cam Akers right now.
That was the one I was going to ask you too, about Walker versus him. That I think that's a tough. Even moving up, I mean, we're going to talk about, I mean, we talked about Aaron Jones being in the disappointing range. Aaron Jones got Minnesota, which is okay, but like, I don't know, man. I mean, Cam Akers is going to get all of it. You want Cam Akers or Aaron Jones in week 17?
Yeah, you want crazy. You want all of a backfield in a good matchup, or do you want half of a backfield, right? Like in a good matchup.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's a good argument. I mean, with the way we're talking and the way it sounds like, we're both kind of like borderline RB1 on Cam Akers. Like, he's probably right around 12, 13, 14 range at running back for me.
Yeah, I think safe is to say top 15. I think he's a top 15 back in the championship week. And, you know, I think what is going to be fascinating about it is so many people are going to have picked him up off the wire. They may have some really tough decisions. They actually may be tough decisions because nobody wrote him all the way here.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but here's a tough decision. We had Ramondre Stevenson in the guys that left you out in the cold. And, you know, he's going up against Miami, who just, you know, we saw what they did to Aaron Jones. Miami's had their troubles in the past, but they're a really good run defense. So, like, would you rather start Ramondre Stevenson against Miami or you know, go with Cam Akers?
I think that's a legit question. You know, what's interesting, I'm looking, too, on the season in half PPR. So Miami actually gives up a decent amount of points to running backs. They are in the top 12. They're 20th, you know, worst, if you mm-hmm. want to say it like that. But they give up, I think, the least rushing yards. It's a third least in the NFL, but they give a lot up as far as receiving goes to running backs, around almost 44 yards, five catches, almost a full touchdown per game, even rushing. But it's the yards that they don't give up.
Which and might make sound. Yeah, it might be the reason why you're okay with Stevenson, is because he can get you some points in that capacity.
But I think they're close. I think they're super, super close. I don't think Ramondre is a slam dunk or anything like that over Cam Akers, and because Cam Akers is in an incredible situation. A Chargers offense that, I mean, what, they just put up 20 against the Colts, And they're not moving the ball. Herbert's not looking great. And this is not that the Rams are good, but they're going to be able to run on this team. So I think it's close. And we'll have to see. I'll have to check in with Jake in the next episode to see where we're at with that one. Moving on, I want a Gardner Minshew review. I know this would be a Jake thing as well. He was a big Gardner Minshew guy this week. It started off kind of slow, but he ended 355, two touchdowns, but he also had two picks. And I know there was kind of a big Gardner Minshew pack of people that had him as far as like QB1. He ended up being the fifth highest scoring quarterback this week. So I was definitely wrong on that front. Do you have a Gardner Minshew review for us, Brandon?
And not really, other than the fact that I had to decide whether to pick up Gardner Minshew and cut Russell Wilson in a league that I have the league I was playing in the semifinal for. You could roster three quarterbacks, and I had Jalen Hurts as one of my quarterbacks, and Trevor Lawrence, that's who I've been riding with, and Russell was my third. So the question would be, do you keep Jalen Hurts, cut Russell, and go with Gardner Minshew, you know, or do you just keep the three separate team quarterbacks and just, you know, and hope for Jalen Hurts to be back next week. So I went the Russell Wilson route. That was absolutely the wrong thing to do. I'd be better off if I just had Philadelphia team quarterback and Trevor Lawrence. And
so who did you start? Who did you end up starting?
Russell and Trevor Lawrence, because Jalen Hurts didn't play. So
I missed it. It was a two quarterback. Oh
yeah. So another reason, you know, that I went down in flames this week. So but you know, now it's interesting because Philadelphia hasn't clinched that division. There's what are they, two games up on the Cowboys, but with two to play. And so if they were to, you know, they have to win one more to have that division in hand. So will they push to have Jalen Hurts come back, or you know, it sounds like they're not going to, and that Gardner Minshew is going to be tasked with, you know, it sounds like he's going to be tasked with starting this week against the Saints. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and we'll see. And we'll see how they're able to move the ball. I think without Jalen Hurts, it changes the run game a little bit. They didn't really get the ball going with Miles Sanders in this one. And obviously it can knock it going when Jalen Hurts takes over, but they just weren't able to establish that. They really made the pass game go. Devonta was awesome. This is a guy I was really big on this week, and he ended up going 8 for 113 and two scores. So we know he lives very strong and very, very playable if Gardner Minshew is out there, because they're just going to sling the ball. And hey, 355, man, that's nothing to scoff at. No, exactly. Over on Kansas City side, I want to get your take on this for next week, because Jerick McKinnon did save my take and anyone else's take that he was an RB1 this week, because he had been dominating. He was the number one scoring quarterback or running back for weeks 14 and 15 combined going into week 16. And then all of a sudden, like the Chiefs like to do to us, poof, he's gone. He no longer was the main back. Pacheco ended up having 14 carries. McKinnon only had 5 for 7 yards, and he only got 3 catches in the game, but he did score a touchdown, 3 for 31 in a score. So he had 38 total yards and a touchdown, which barely saved anything, but Pacheco kind of took over. So my question is, Kansas City versus Denver is coming up this week. Will Jerick McKinnon be trustworthy? You already said Akers over him, so it's not over Akers, but we're claiming Akers is practically RB1. Are you willing to throw him back out there versus Denver?
Well, so I'm looking at, like, DeAndre Swift is at ECR 24. Like, I feel like both of these Kansas City running backs are kind of on that RB2 bubble, because right now Isaiah Pacheco's ECR 28 and McKinnon's ECR 18. I think McKinnon's way too high. Pacheco's probably a little bit low. I mean, like I said, I just got done talking about Denver and how it looks like they've sort of packed it in. It should be a good game for Kansas City to be up early and to lean into Pacheco and just sit on a lead. I can't imagine Denver making this a game, but we say that all the time. And Houston's made it, you know, made a couple like Dallas and the Kansas City Chiefs sweat when we thought it was going to be runaways. I mean, it happens all the time, but I, you know, maybe this new coach comes in, you know, the new head coach. I don't even know who it is. Who'd they elevate?
I remember the name. It was someone that Hackett brought in.
Yeah, it was someone on staff.
Bronco. Yeah. But it was like an interim coach. It was like a core. Jerry Roseberg was the interim coach. But he was like, I wish I could find what it was. They were saying like he was like a senior assistant of like paperwork or nonsense.
So in other words, not for long. He's not the new head coach. He's just the interim. But yeah, I don't. I mean, I have a really hard time seeing this as a competitive game, and I just think that's going to favor Pacheco. So we might get a light McKinnon day, but it also might just, you know, even light work like last week. You know, he still finds the end zone. It's kind of been something he's been able to do. So I think both these guys are usable. I just don't think that either one of them is going to carry the day for your team.
Yeah, and Cam Akers would be valued over him if you if you guys are playing the balance game. I think he's probably at best a low fringy RB2. I see some guys like ECR 20 is Ezekiel Elliott I'd have over him. But there's also some guys I think in the mid-20s that people haven't quite jumped on or maybe even have worse matchups. You know, I'm going to just throw this out since I'm dancing around asking this one. But like the Carolina Panthers running backs were insane. I think we've talked a lot about Deontay Foreman, who was 21 carries, 165 yards and a score. You have been very pro Chuba Hubbard, who went for over 100 yards, 125 on 12 carries. And they were, I think they had 200 yards in like the first quarter of that insane game, which of course I bet the Lions, of course, because it seems so logical. And they just ran all over them. But Deontay Foreman is ranked 29th on ECR right now because of the Tampa Bay matchup coming up. Yeah. So I'm curious, is Deontay Foreman or Jerick McKinnon?
Honestly, I'm going to go Jerick McKinnon there. I'm a little bit worried. I mean, we've seen the Carolina thing where it's looked so fruitful in the backfield, but then boom, you know. And I just, you know, this one in Tampa with a division kind of at stake here, I mean, Tampa can't afford to lose to the Panthers here. Suddenly they're in a tie for first place in the South. So I just think they're going to be game for this one. And, you know, Deonta kind of work in the middle of that, you know, work running up the middle on Tampa. I would rather have Chuba Hubbard this week than Deonta Foreman, if I'm being honest.
Oh, really? Okay. So, I mean, that's a whole nother realm, because I think I would take, I'm borderline maybe taking both. I guess I couldn't do Chuba over McKinnon because they're kind of in a similar role, but I think I would go Foreman over. I know what you're saying about Tampa, but Tampa never steps up to the challenge. They just never step up to the challenge.
This is it. It's now time, man. I think if we're going to, I think it's going to be this week. I will say, like, I like both of the Chiefs running backs over either of the Carolina running backs. Like, if I had all four of them and I needed to start two, I'd start Pacheco and McKinnon over Foreman and Hubbard.
It's not a great matchup. It's 100% not a great matchup, but they are coming off of both rushing for 100 yards, which is bonkers. Going in on these two Saints players real quick, Alvin Kamara, 20 for 76 in a score, caught 2 for 34, only his second game of the year with a touchdown. It was the matchup of matchups, and he was okay. I don't know if there's anything to take from this, but Taysom Hill, 9 for 56 in a score. This was one that I was in on. He ended up being the 8th tight end in week 16, and maybe incredible. I had to double check this 3 times. He's the 6th ranked tight end on the year in half PPR. That doesn't seem real. So I guess I just ask, obviously he's been, if you were to just look at the stats, you would think, wow, this is awesome and consistent. But we also know probably no tight end has put up big, more duds than Taysom Hill. Are you in and are you trusting for this final week? Are you going to throw him out there? At what level? Because I know we can keep asking this, but you know, with these tight ends, like if you, I think there were 11 tight ends in week 16. Let me pull it up. This was a wild one because I don't think we've had this all year. In week 16, in half PPR, I'm on standard here. On half PPR, there were 11 tight ends who scored double digit points this week, Brendan. So I know we can always have this conversation of like, oh yeah, whatever, just take your shot, blah, blah, blah. But in a championship game, you know, are you comfortable swinging for the fences? Or what if you had the Dawson Knoxes or the Evan Ingrams? You probably don't have Evan Ingram out there, but Greg Dulcich. Look at all those players that scored 10 points and the guys that were right on the fringe, even Dallas Goedert, Darren Waller. Is Taysom Hill a slam dunk tight end one for the final week?
Yeah, he's ECR 9 right now, and I probably would have him ECR 8. I'd probably play him over Pat Freiermuth. Evan Ingram's been a stud and just has looked the part as well. Man, he just shows up. He's been showing up the last few weeks and kind of looking like Lawrence's go-to guy now. So I think I'm still starting Evan Ingram over him, but I had Taysom Hill in a bunch of leagues. I've been playing him down the stretch, and honestly, for the most part, I've been happy. I mean, it's, the expectation of how he's going to give you points is sometimes hard to know. But we heard going into this game, and I had this game written down. I was kind of ranking the weather peril games, and the New Orleans Cleveland game I had ranked as number one because that was like it was so cold and the sustained winds. And, you know, we started hearing talk that it was going to be, you know, they were going to lean into the Taysom Hill thing. And I was honestly a little bit disappointed that he didn't even have more work.
Exactly.
But we knew Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill were going to be big players in this game. And so it did kind of bear itself out. You know, who are they playing this week? They're at Washington. I think this is a little bit more tricky than what we were expecting going into last week for Taysom Hill. But I'd still probably roll with him as a top 10 tight end this week.
Also on tight ends, the number one in week 16, TJ Hockenson had 13 catches, 109 yards, two scores, and probably doesn't surprise, but I don't know, maybe it does. He's the number two tight end on the year in overall scoring. He is number three in points per game right behind George Kittle because George Kittle has missed time. Kittle is averaging, I think it was like 10.7. And or 16 points. Why don't I actually just look here and organize it? So in half PPR, Hockenson is 10.7 to Kittle's 11 in total in average points, but there's only four tight ends that have scored double digit points. And incredibly, Mark Andrews is still on that list, averaging 10 per game, but he is fourth in total scoring. TJ Hockenson is still around 75 points behind Travis Kelce, which is why that whole Kelce conversation moves up. But I think if you end up going and like looking statistically at Hockenson with just the Vikings and not just the Lions, that number would be quite a bit bigger and it would overpass George Kittle and it would overpass Mark Andrews. And are you comfortable with Hockenson as tight end two next year? Or are you going to go back into Mark Andrews? Or do you think it's like a tier four, you'll do that, like, or you'll do Kelce as his own tier, and then it's going to be some combo of Kittle, Hockenson, and Andrews.
Exactly. And I'm right now I'm probably Hockenson number three. Honestly, with Lamar Jackson, we haven't seen that Andrews hasn't failed, you know, so you have to kind of like say, okay, with a healthy Lamar Jackson, we got to expect Mark Andrews is going to be just fine. I would go Andrews two next year. I would go Hockenson three. And I go Kittle four, just because Kittle, we can't count on, you know, 17 games. And there's just that injury history factor there. But I think that's the second tier, and it's a pretty good one. And see you later, Darren Waller, you're no longer a part of it. But I'm comfortable because look at Adam Thielen's getting old and there's not like a, you know, there hasn't been a true blue number two there. And I think Hockenson is that guy now. So, you know, playing off of, it could be the new Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce combination between Justin Jefferson and Hockenson playing off each other that way.
Yeah. And Cousins, by the way, has been amazing in the playoffs. If I go, say, I guess it would be week 14 on, Cousins is the number one fantasy quarterback since week 14. So over the last 3 weeks, like which is bonkers. Yeah. Scoring just a tad bit more than Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, number three, Patrick Mahomes, four, and Joe Burrow, five. So Jalen Hurts missed a game in total points. But if you look at points per game, it is Jalen Hurts over that time who was scoring like 33 points. But total points goes to Kirk Cousins on that list. A couple more notes, and then we will jump into who you're looking at for picking up this week. In that Niner game, speaking of George Kittle, I did a show earlier in the week and I was touting Jahan Dotson because I thought Jahan Dotson was a perfect type of player that could beat up on the 49ers, and 6 for 76 and a score, three straight games with a touchdown. He ranks 18th in half PPR at wide receiver over the last 3 weeks, has the Raiders coming up this week. Is Jahan Dotson going to be a top three wide receiver for you, or maybe even a wide receiver two for you this week?
Yeah, and he's the number one like receiver target on the waiver wire for me. So just to tease what we have coming up, we always talk about the waiver wire. So he's the top receiver, and he's just been good. He's, you know, we know he's got the pedigree, the draft pedigree. He's a talented guy, and he's now been targeted seven times inside the 20-yard line and has five touchdowns on those seven targets. So there's a thing going on with him in the red zone and you know, finding the end zone repeatedly. He's done that, and he was doing that before he got hurt early in the year, and then since he's returned, he's kind of picked that back up. So like the matchup, like the talent, like the production on the field of late. I mean, I don't really know what else you can ask for when you're going out there looking for a guy that can help you in your finals at the wide receiver position.
All right, well, we can do one more on the running backs, and I probably should have paired this with all that other running back conversation, but you want to talk about monopolizing yourself. This is, again, what happened to this Dolphins running back situation. There is no rhyme or reason anymore, especially when healthy, where Raheem Mostert had really been great. He had been incredible for weeks. A good matchup coming in this week, and I know there were a lot of people. I had major concerns. This isn't a like, ooh, look at me, but I was like, hey, if Jeff Wilson is active, I'm concerned with Raheem Mostert. And I know a lot of people were like, I'm not concerned. Raheem Mostert is the guy if Jeffrey Wilson's there. Well, it happened. Mostert went only 8 for 45. Jeff Wilson outrushed him 9 for 37 and got the touchdown. So really the only question off of any of that is, with both of them there, we have so many of these situations too we keep looking at. We're just talking about the Chiefs situation. We're talking about the Panthers situation. The Packers are the quintessential one where they just kind of monopolize each other. This is one of those where everybody wants to dive in, but are you comfortable diving in this week? In the ECR currently, Raheem Mostert is barely a flex at 34 in ranks, and Jeffrey Wilson Jr. is 40th. Can you throw either of these guys out in a championship week? Would you even risk it, or would you rather go with, you know, Deontay Foreman would be
both
one of
Chiefs
those.
Again. I think the ECR is, I mean, that's a little bit down. Like, I would play Jeff Wilson over at this point. Honestly, I'd play him over Cordarrelle Patterson. I'd play him over Deion Jackson. And I kind of like Jeff Wilson right now a little bit more. You know, the guy that scored the touchdown, the guy that got more touches last week.
I think he's a more talented back. I think he's insanely talented, and this team knows it too. They just haven't got him ramped back up.
Right. So, yeah, I think I would, first of all, I'd switch those two, you know, and I'd probably move Wilson to 34, drop Mostert down, and that's probably about right. So, yeah, flex play at best for Wilson, and I'd probably try to avoid playing Mostert altogether.
Okay, so they're out, so that's going to hurt. That'll be another one of those guys you probably want to avoid, and there's a lot of those situations, and ranks are going to get crazy this week. So just as a reminder, make sure you're locked into The Athletic, and Jake on Twitter, All In Kid, he'll be posting his rank article. You'll get that for Wednesday. You guys can get all prepped for what is most likely championship week. Maybe you have one more week, or maybe you play a two-week championship. I don't know what you do, but Jake will have you covered, and it'll be very interesting to see where those Miami running backs lay out, especially after this final week. All right, so let's talk about those last little pickups. You're in a championship week game. Maybe you got hit with some injuries. Maybe a few guys got knocked around, or maybe you're just overall concerned about some of the plays you have, and you got lucky getting in. Brandon, who are you looking at, and who are you targeting that is under 50% that people should be picking up?
Well, he's still barely under 50%, but Tyler Algier, I just mentioned how I would play Jeff Wilson over Cordarrelle Patterson. I think Tyler Algier is clearly taking over this backfield, and it's been going on for the last few weeks, and he's looked great. He's ECR 33 at running back. I would move him all the way up to about Brian Robinson range, right about RB 25. I think I'd play him over DeAndre Swift, who's RB 24. I think the floor is so much better than DeAndre Swift. We saw with, you know, DeAndre Swift floor was last week. And I think there's potential for a touchdown and 80 plus rushing yards here from Algier this week. So I'd move him up a lot. He'd be my top running back play. I had him on this list last week. Nothing's changed. Jahan Dotson, we talked about. If you're having to dig deeper, I think the Giants receivers, Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James, have been kind of filling in, you know, around Darius Slayton and getting, you know, decent production. These guys aren't going to, I mean, this is a little bit deeper league stuff, so these guys aren't going to be greatly impactful, and probably for championship teams, you know, you're doing better than this at your wide receiver spot. But Hunter Renfro's back. He scored a touchdown, had 7 targets. He could, you know, be someone that could help you out in a championship week. I think you mentioned Zach Moss. Gus Edwards, 11 for 99 last week. He's the number 2 in Baltimore. That's usually worth something. Baltimore's playing. Who's Baltimore playing this week?
They're playing the team.
They're playing Pittsburgh on. Is every game Saturday night or Saturday this week?
No, it can't be. Is it? Yeah, they're playing Pittsburgh. That's the,
okay. I'm looking at a list that has a typo. It's Sunday, so it's Sunday night game. Gus Edwards. There you go.
I just looked at Yeah, I looked at. I'm trying to get a week 17. No, there's only there is no Saturday game. It's all
No,
all
I know. I printed out a weekly schedule from the site, and they have it listed as Saturday, January 1st, which is wrong. It's Sunday, January 1st.
Yeah. So everybody. Yeah, we all have a. Yeah, because New Year's Eve is on Saturday night. I was having debates with people about this throughout the whole week, where my wife was actually looking at the 2021 calendar, and she's like, "No, it's wrong." And I'm like, "No, dude." I'm like, "Sunday."
That's right,
Sunday,
because it's it moves one day every year, right?
So yeah, exactly. Work. So you Sunday is the first, the brand new day of the year where we're going to get some football action. So okay, I dig it. All right. I dig. Okay. Those are your guys.
Those are my guys.
Make your pickups, and make sure you guys are locked in for the next episode. Jake will be with me. We'll be talking about all the ranks. I will throw some ranks out there as well with him, and we will get these final championship plays going. I mean, whatever you guys are doing, this is important time, whether it's the semifinals or I presume the championship. And good vibes my way, because I got a pretty strong roster that I'm going to be putting out there in this dynasty. It's a 16-team dynasty. That it's actually a 3-sport league too, where you can interchange trades of like baseball players for football and all that. And it's 2 strong football teams in. So I know everybody is dying to know how I do. So of course I want you guys to all know. But we'll be back again later in the week on Thursday. It'll be Jake and myself. Brandon and I will be back in week 18 to recap everything for you. So friends, don't you go anywhere. And thank you, as always, for checking us out and logging in to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.